Yo, what's up? Sorry, I don't know where that came from, but anyway, hi, it's Greg Friel here from Freelance Music and Media, and
Love
this
it.
is a brand new podcast show that I'm doing that is maybe a little less businessy and a bit more me. We're going to call it Friel Style. So bad, just everything's a terrible pun. And I'm joined here all the way from Sydney, Australia, with my new best friend, Darren from Suspended Animation. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Greg, how are you doing? And hello, everybody out there. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. I was going to say good morning, good afternoon. What the hell kind of time is it over there?
Just it's now 7:18 p.m.
Okay. It's like 10:18 a.m. here in Glasgow, Scotland.
Exactly. So I've had a glass of wine. You've had a cup of coffee. We're all good.
Can I tell you, see if I was having a glass of wine at this time in the morning, it might be a bit of an issue. this is the third or fourth time we've been chatting. I can't remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first time we got talking, the initial thing was, what time am I meant to be actually talking to him? Right, yeah, okay, it's 9:30 in the morning. And then my wife was like, Greg, the time difference to Sydney is like 9 hours. I was like, oh, shit. She's like, that's 7:30 in the morning. So the first time I spoke to you, I'm like, hey, how are you? Matchsticks in my eyes. I think I had a massive like 4 or 5 hours sleep or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, so for the folks at home, you know, let's just a quick, who the hell are you? And why the hell am I wasting my time talking to you?
Yeah, very good question. Very good question, Greg. So hello, everybody. Darren Saul from Suspended Animation. And obviously, Greg and I are kindred spirits, and we share a passion for many things, actually. But one of them in particular is social media and digital media marketing. So we're both podcasters. We're both digital marketers or social media marketers. And we can chat about our passion and execution of social media till the cows come home. So, you know, you'll have to kick us off the stage.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, can you shut up now? Can you please shut up? We just kind of came up with this idea of just kind of coming on here and just kind of shooting the shit, as it were, really just kind of around anything and everything, without necessarily a specific format. So I guess today, I mean, really, where's your head at with how your week's been? Anything kind of exciting that's kind of come your way, anything in the social media landscape that's kind of sparking your interest, or anything creatively?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that's really taking off at the moment, and it's really weird because like we both do a lot of podcasting, and podcasting has been around for a long time, 10-15 mm-hmm. years, but I'm finding from the market that more and more people are jumping onto the podcast bandwagon. There's more and more people wanting to be on podcasts as guests because we all want to market ourselves, in a more sophisticated way. And we were just talking before the show about the difference between marketing and selling. And nowadays you've got to be a sophisticated marketer and build a builder of brand. And that comes with social media and digital media. It's a massive platform for doing that. And everybody wants to be on a podcast. Everybody wants to tell their story, get in front of an audience. So I'm finding that I'm getting people coming to me all the time, referrals of referrals of referrals, and networking groups saying, everybody says, I want to be on a podcast. So as soon as you have a podcast, you're like everybody's best friend. So I'm finding podcasting is an incredible marketing hack right now. And it's crazy because it's 10-15 years down the track, but it's still as powerful, if not more powerful than ever.
Do you think that, I mean, you know, the thing we've spoken about before as well is the fact that because podcasting is passive consumption, you know, people can be busy doing any number of other things. And it's, especially at the moment in the middle of a pandemic, it can be trying to look after your kids at home whilst working or, you know, trying to cook a meal or whatever. But you're able to, you know, listen to a podcast in the background while you're doing that. Do you think that because our lives are so busy and we're bombarded with so much different content all the time that, you know, podcasting is just kind of sneaking in there because we don't actually have to give it our full attention the whole time. We can actually just have it on in the background.
100%, you know. And it's the same with audiobooks, because it's a passive way of retrieving information and exposing yourself to information. And you can just have it in the background while you're cooking, while you're walking, while you're on the treadmill, while you're driving, while you're working away. And if, for example, you hear something that you think, oh, I didn't quite catch that, you just rewind it and re-listen. Or you can listen to the same podcast or the same audiobook many times until you get it all. So even if you don't miss, if you don't catch everything the first time, listen to it a few times and you catch it. So it's very passive, but it's very powerful.
I think the thing is as well, I mean, I was doing a webinar this week, earlier in this week, and it was, you know, introducing people to the beginner's guide to podcasting. And one of the questions that I got asked from the people who were there was, and you get asked this, I'm sure you get asked this all the time as well, is what's the ideal length of time for a podcast? What's, you know, what should be this, what should be that? And what it comes down to is messaging and why you're doing it and to what end and what style of podcast you're going to do. I mean, Joe Rogan's podcasts last for hours because it's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking shit. And it's very casual and relaxed. Whereas, you know, a business thing, it's going to be more of a strict time grab, you know, because you're thinking, well, someone's going to be listening to this on the way to work, in terms of, you know, this is going to slot into their commute. You know, I mean, do you find that that's the same? Do your clients ask you that same thing? Or
They do. Like, even just the other day, someone said, Darren, do you really think people are going to listen to a 45-minute episode? And I'll say, you know what? Like, personally, myself, if a podcast is less than 20 minutes or even less than 15 minutes, I tend not to turn it on, because I like 30 minutes, 40 minutes of content. You know, I'm just getting started after 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're just kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of it, rather than who are you and what do you do? I mean, we're really just getting to that, you know.
What about you? I mean, what do you prefer listening to? What kind of length?
I say the same kind of thing. I like when, you know, there's something, you know, where you 45 to an hour. I mean, sometimes if I'm listening to a keynote speech from somebody, and there's like Q&A and that kind of thing, then I love all that stuff. And I mean, certainly in the real world, whenever, you know, I'm actually commuting and going between meetings or whatever, then I'll just have podcasts on all the time in the car. And then it's, you know, if it is a longer episode, I'll probably just get through that throughout the day. And it kind of keeps you in that headspace as well. You know, quite a lot of the time I'll be listening to the kind of content that's maybe right for the next meeting that I'm going to as well. Just kind of keeps me focused.
Exactly. And I find, like, I spend a lot of time in the morning when I first get up, like from say 5:30 to 7:30, working on all my social media and preparing my day. And I like to have
that's insane. That is insane.
I know, I'm mad.
Even with the time change, you know, I'm kind of like, really?
I'm mad. So I'm actually, I'll be going to bed in about half an hour because I'm, you know, starting to fall asleep at 8 o'clock.
Oh my God, sick.
But I like having that time, having a podcast in the background. So if I need at least an hour or two to keep me occupied, otherwise 10 minutes, I got to keep changing channels.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You kind of, it's like it's there and it's kind of ticking away, and you'll pick up certain things. And, you know, sometimes, certainly there's episodes that are like, one of my favorite podcasts at the moment is Masters of Scale. I think I mentioned this to you before. And, you know, and it's more of a produced sort of radio show kind of format. And I really like it because it really goes into depth about, you know, it can be how these guys grew Skype and, you know, and all of the, you know, the big app companies and developers and just different corporations over the past 20, 30 years, really. But, you know, I'll listen to that, but then I'll listen to the same episode again, because you're kind of half listening sometimes and you kind of go, what was that? You said about that? And it really just, you pick up something different every time.
Absolutely. You know? Totally agree. You know, it's nice to get into real serious content and go deep, and then you really learn something.
Agree. So what are you listening to at the moment?
So I listen to a number of different podcasts. I listen to, obviously, Gary Vee. I love Gary Vee. I think you both love Gary Vee, so I always listen to Gary Vee. I love listening to...
I swear too much anyway, but it kind of encourages me to swear more.
Fantastic. I love Entrepreneurs on Fire. Is it JLD, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire? Love listening to him. I love listening to the Social Media Marketing Podcast.
Yes,
it's a great podcast. If you know,
it's really, really good.
Who else is on my speed dial? A couple of others, but you know, every day I listen to your podcast.
Oh my God, really? Per year.
Yeah, so lots of different stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's the thing. Because there's so much now, depending on your mood, you kind of like, I'm in the mood for something businessy, or I'm in the mood for something light.
Exactly.
You can really just kind of dip in and out of it. So what about the, you know, the future of, you know, voice, obviously, you know, because Alexa skills and voice recognition software, you know, it's obviously something that Gary Vee talks about a lot as well. Definitely. That, you know, if you're not there already, then you're going to be behind the curve, you know, and how much search actually gets done now just by voice recognition. And I mean, I know that, you know, my stepdaughter's kids, that, you know, they're, everything is voice, you know, they've got all of their devices, their iPads and their phones and you're like, oh my God, they just use this all the time. And Alexa and it's just, it's the normal for them.
It is. It's crazy. You know, and like, I haven't even dived into the research of what will become of voice and how it'll affect the marketing world. But it's definitely true that you have to be on voice at some point, and brand is going to be really important when you're on voice. So, you know, build your brand now, and then however voice takes on a new form, or however voice enters our lives, we'll be able to utilize it because we have the brand to go on it. But if you don't have the brand, you're really going to be behind.
Yeah.
When voice starts.
Yeah. I mean, and I think this is one of the things that, you know, we hear about a lot, you know, the future of, you know, everybody wants to know what's the next big thing, you know, is it, you know, VR and AR and that kind of thing. And certainly from the consumer perspective, you know, that is nowhere near about to happen. You know, there's a lot of things that people are like, yeah, this is really, really cool. And you're like, yeah, I can see where that, you know, would work in a, you know, B2B context or whatever, but we're not quite seeing people floating around, you know, with Oculus on all the time. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's not that many people who are actually spending that much time in VR at this stage.
No. And I think a lot of, and what really is really interesting is the psychology behind it. Like, a lot of people worry about which platform is taking off, what's the next technology, is it going to be voice, is it going to be VR, is it going to be something else, is it going to be hologram? But none of that really matters as much as you better have a brand.
Yeah.
If you have a brand, you can do anything on any platform, whatever comes along, you just jump on it with your brand. But if you don't have a brand to start with, it's all over. So for me, it's, everything is about marketing and building your brand, you know, and if there's
100%.
another, that's all it is, you know, later on, something comes along, don't worry, we'll just adapt our brand to that new platform or that new technology. But
and that's the thing, brand. But we were talking about this before, you know, the whole idea of, you know, brand equity, you know, that if you're specifically just doing one thing, we're talking about a failure of brand in terms of certain people wanting to do things from the perspective of, oh, if you do this and use the keywords to do with that particular subject, then you're going to show up in search, you know, and you're like, well, that's just a failure of brand, you know, whereas Google, what the hell does that mean? It's not actually saying anything, but now it's become synonymous with, oh, Google that, Google this, you know, I'll go on to Google for that. And you're like, uh-huh. So that's, you know, the success of a brand just becoming, it becomes everyday life. It becomes a byword for actually an activity or actually doing something.
Absolutely. And funny, like, I grew up more in the sales area and the sales arena. And I, you know, I learned sales and I studied sales, and I really started to only think about marketing in the last few years. But for me, it's such a powerful force. And I just enjoy marketing. I like selling. I like talking. I like selling. But I just love marketing because it's based on psychology, based on human interaction. Yeah. It's strategic. It's so interesting.
But it can be personal as well. I think this is the thing. You know, we were talking about before that whenever you hear people talking about, we're a digital marketing agency, I'm like, really? Because it sounds like all you're doing is constructing sales funnels. Yep. That's sales funnels, which isn't marketing.
No, not at all.
And that I find that annoying because it's kind of like, for me, marketing is all about being creative.
Definitely.
And that other thing is the opposite of that. That's a numbers game. And it kind of pisses me off because I'm kind of like, you would give digital marketers a bad name. Whereas the other side of things is, no, it's value-based. We want to actually get to the heart of who you are as a business, what you're actually offering that's going to be unique, and what are you doing that's going to be of value to your potential customers.
100%.
And it's just, I get so annoyed. Yeah, we do digital marketing. I'm like, no, you don't. Yep. You're one of these spam people. This is you're going to be on an email list forever. Yep. And every week just get these kind of, we've got a new, really? You've got a new thing that I'm not even vaguely interested in?
Yeah.
It does get frustrating.
And what I love about marketing is it's really, it's part science, part art, as you say, it's creative. You know, you're a musician, you're a very artistic guy. It allows you. Thank you. It allows you to...
You didn't compliment me on my hair. I mean, really.
You're a very artistic kind of like, guy with great hair, man. I wish I had
your
hair.
There we go. Right.
I mean, I wish I had your hair.
It's kind of getting a bit out of control now. I mean, a few more weeks of lockdown and I will literally be like, I don't know what the hell's going to be going on.
At least you've been shaving. I can see you clean shaving today.
Yes, vaguely. Yeah. Jesus. My younger brother... over the past week or two has decided to grow a beard. Uh-huh. And he's like, none of us have, I've got two brothers and none of us have ever had beards. And it's the weirdest thing. I'm kind of like, dude, it actually really, really suits it. But it's kind of like, well, you know, you can try it just now because nobody's really going to see you. Are you?
Yeah.
I tried growing a goatee once about 20 years ago and I just looked, like a sexual predator. It was it was not a good look for me. Yeah,
I'm the same. I was traveling with some friends. We were backpacking around Europe and I had a beanie on and I had a beard that I had grown for a few days. And there was a poor lady that was just coming out of the supermarket with a shopping trolley. She took one look at me. She left her shopping trolley and she ran for her life. And so I thought from then on, maybe I shouldn't grow a beard.
No, yeah, exactly. Maybe not. You know, but it's funny how that, you know, and actually this goes to the whole thing with the marketing side of things is that, you know, appearance and each of these things is a reflection of who you are and your brand or whatever. And
definitely, and
as much as I joke about it, like I'll joke about the hair thing, but people know me for being ridiculously vain and talking about my hair.
So, it takes work and a lot of care to get that.
Exactly.
Just right.
but you know, these are really quite interesting things from the point of view of perception and perception of brands and identity as well. I was talking on a previous podcast with a brilliant lady, Kirsty Mack, and we were talking about identity and how, I mean, she's got very striking red hair, totally fake red hair, but that's her thing, and everybody knows her as that. Okay. And in the same way, people tend to know me as the guy with the highlights and, you know, sad 80s guy, but but you know, we were talking about the whole idea of identity in terms of informing ourselves about and feeling, no, this is who I am, and if I don't look like that and present myself that way, then I actually don't feel true to myself, and that's actually who I am.
So true.
I think I actually said some bullshit thing along the lines of, it's the key to my superpowers or something. And she's like, yeah, I can totally see this kind of Clark Kent Superman kind of thing going on.
Exactly.
But I mean, as much as that's bullshit, it's really, I think it's true as well. I mean, there's how we present ourselves and how, you know, we're showing ourselves to the world, and it's a reflection of ourselves and all of that. Yeah, I mean, it really does go to the whole personal brand set of things, not just the way you look, but when you feel a certain way, you're obviously going to be giving off a certain energy.
Definitely.
All of these things are brand in some way.
100%. And everybody's talking about that word authenticity nowadays, you know, authenticity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can define it in many ways. But if you are who you are, you be who you are, you express yourself the way you want to express yourself through your dress, through your clothes, through your hair, you know, then you are allowing yourself to be you and projecting your thoughts,
yeah,
your philosophy to the world, and you feel comfortable.
I think it's that thing when people say that, you know, the classic one is when people say, how do I be authentic? I'm like, wow, really? You just don't, yeah, get this. You know, you just be yourself. Exactly. You know, when what you say and what you do are actually the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you got to be true to yourself.
Absolutely, man.
But it's such a weird question, though, wasn't it? It's like, how do I be authentic? I'm like, how little do you know of yourself?
Yeah,
that you have,
yeah,
to ask that question.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. I mean, people, you know, if you have to start fabricating what you're saying and how you're positioning yourself to the world, it's already all over, you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, marketing is about
people know you're faking it.
People knowing, yeah, exactly. People want to resonate with you for who you really are, and it's actually a really good point. You can't please everybody.
You know, have to. No, I mean, really, this is, and this is like Seth Godin, the, yeah, author, yeah, marketer. Definitely. I mean, that's one of his things, and it's, yep, you know, and it's so true. And I quote him all the time with this. You know, it's like, yep, everybody is not your customer.
Definitely love that. You know, you Seth know? Godin, when he does with his bell curve, and he talks about, you know, taking that little chunk within the bell curve and focusing on nothing else. Just focus on that.
Yeah.
And go deep. I love that strategy. Because
I mean, the fact that he kind of looks a bit like Dr. Evil is slightly disturbing, but he is a genius at what he does. And I do love his books. Yeah. I was actually listening to one of his podcasts. I'd actually just come back from, I was doing a gig up north in Scotland. Right. And I had about two or three hours of podcast kind of lined up to listen to in the journey up and going back down. So, and I was listening to Seth Godin on the way down. And the thing is, his content is so good in terms of what he is actually saying. You're like, wow, this is all brilliant.
Yep.
You actually get past the fact that he has the most annoying voice.
Yeah, he's not a great reader. When he reads,
no, you kind of like, oh my God, it's really a monotonous voice. Yep. And so when I got home, I said to my wife, I was like, this is what I've been listening to. And she heard like 10 seconds. She's like, oh my God, what the hell is his voice? I'm like, yeah, but what he's actually saying is really, really good. Yeah,
and he's an absolute genius. I think he's spot on.
Totally.
He's absolute genius. I agree.
I think the thing is that's been amazing with some of his content as well is that, yeah, he'll do, there was one that I saw he was in a boat. He was sitting like in a canoe or something like that. And he literally went live on his phone and he was talking for 15 minutes without drawing breath or pausing.
Wow.
About the, you know, the specific subject.
Yep.
And you're like, is that just there? I mean, it was just so articulate, so focused and so on point. You're kind of like, surely he's got something just off to the side, because it was just so incredibly well thought out and detailed that maybe it's just something from one of his books that's just there. It's always just forefront of his mind. But he's an incredibly sharp cookie. And I think, especially with a lot of his books, there's always something different in each of them. Although it's marketing and it's brand and all these things, you're always looking at something from there's a little nugget that you can, oh, I haven't actually thought of it that way before.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. I've got all these audiobooks here lined up, so you've inspired me to start reading them again.
I'm reaching across to my bookshelf. Have you seen this book?
Building a Story Brand. No, I haven't heard. I haven't seen that book. No, good one.
You will love it.
All right.
I just started it, and it's all about the key to being seen, heard, and understood. But yeah, I mean, it's branding and the creating a story brand, but from the perspective of thinking of it in the hero's journey kind of structure, in terms of like movie structure and all that side of things. And it's the stuff that you kind of like, I mean, that's, we kind of know that anyway, but it's kind of like highlighting it. And it just comes down to everything's a story, beginning, middle, and end, whether it's, you know, whether it's a speech, or whether it's a book, whether it's a song, whatever. It's just going to have that kind of structure. But this kind of really clearly, you know, breaks it down in terms of, okay, you want your brand to be the hero of the story and take, you know, the potential customer, you know, on that journey through your story. And so then they buy into it and they really want to follow your brand along that journey. I've just kind of started reading it, but I love the whole premise of it. And storytelling, you know, I mean, that's where it's at, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Nowadays, like, everybody wants to know the who and the why behind the brand. They want to connect with the story behind the brand, the journey, the evolution of the brand. So, you know, and that's something that I'm not great at. I tend to talk very factually, and I don't go into a lot of detail into stories, but I'm trying to teach myself to give more information to the backstory and the personal story, because I think that's what really connects with people.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I just tend to do stories.
Stories. Yeah, you're just a natural. You're a natural.
Thank you very much. It's just kind of how I'll just come on and talk to you like every day, Darren. And you can just say I'm awesome, right? But that's just kind of how I connect with people. I mean, the downside is that if I have a meeting with somebody, you probably should set aside a couple of hours, because I don't really like having short meetings with people. You know, I mean, I know I should from a business perspective and like cram in as many meetings as you can. But I kind of like getting into, you know, their story and finding out more about them. And actually, when I have that first meeting with people, if I, you know, connect with them, and then that, you know, you just like, well, you know, who is it, you know, you really are, and what is it that makes you tick? And I think that's the stuff that really resonates with people, and understanding. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz thing, you know, it's like what's going on behind the curtain.
And too true. I mean, if you're really building such great rapport and you can have those longer meetings, then I think you should have those longer meetings, because those longer meetings will 90% of the time turn into something serious, something, you know, fruitful, because you are really connecting.
Exactly. I mean, and rather than kind of, you have that half an hour, 45 minutes.
Say, we'll follow up next week. We'll follow up. And you have 10 follow-ups. Just do them all at once.
And really understanding, you know, certainly there's been a few people who I've met in recent months, and even online as well, actually, just, you know, since all this craziness started.
Don't tell your wife about that.
Not that kind of, not those kind of services, but in terms of actually having, you know, those business chats with people about stuff that really resonates, and, you know, and you have that sort of meeting of minds about things, you're kind of like, this makes a lot of sense to me, and it makes a lot of sense to you. And and then you find that, you know what, you're somebody actually I want to work with. Rather than some half an hour, 45 minute meeting with somebody where you're dancing around trying to work out whether, is this a waste of time, or are you going to be, or is it going to be useful? And I can't be bothered with that, really.
You're really connecting with someone, you'll find a way to work with them because you want to. It's an incredible phenomenon.
But I think what it comes down to, and I think you're very much sort of cut from the same cloth, that it's about people. That whole psychology thing is, you know, that's the fascinating thing, understanding human behavior, why people do the things that they do and why they're interested in certain things. And that's kind of, that's what excites me about the marketing side of things.
Me too. I mean, that's, everybody always says to me, why, what do you love about social media marketing? Why, how did you become a social media marketer? I said, I think at the core, I love people. I always have. I love interacting with people. I love studying people, observing them, seeing what makes them tick. And social media is just a fantastic playground for adults to observe each other's behavior.
Yeah, definitely.
The marketing, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. Right. So I'm gonna throw an exit set in here. Just kind of just sort of put you on your toes.
Nice.
If you could say one thing to a business just now, one piece of advice on exactly where we are at the moment, which is obviously, it's such a strange thing that the entire world is going through this same thing at the same time. We're not dealing with different things. There's this overriding carnage and horrendous kind of situation. But if you were to give one piece of advice to businesses in terms of how to deal with this just now and how to go ahead from a marketing perspective, a branding perspective, what would that be?
I would say two things. Be extremely engaged in your marketing activities, you know, and whether they, and when I say marketing, it doesn't have to be just social media marketing. You know, marketing is, it comes in many forms, but social media marketing is a very important part of your marketing strategy, and you definitely need to do it. But be incredibly engaged in your marketing activities and be incredibly consistent, because a lot of people jump in, they get excited about marketing for a week or two, for a month, and then they forget about it. Or when we come out of this, possibly, you know, things start to get better in the next 2 or 3 months, they might let their marketing down a little and forget about it. So I think it's really important to start now, execute your marketing daily if you can, and continue that for as long as you can, because, you know, as we're talking about, everything about today is about brand, building your brand, you know, and that's got to really, and if this period has taught us nothing, or has, no, if this period has taught us anything, it's how important a brand is, because only the biggest brands can survive in a market like this.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely. It's so important, I think. What about you?
I think the thing is, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with everything you're saying there. I think an awful lot of businesses are scared to put themselves out there for fear of being judged. They're thinking, am I going to be, seem to be unfeeling or uncaring, like I'm just trying to make money, or as if they're maybe exploiting people at a difficult time. And and I think people need to get past that. You know, at the end of the day, the economy needs to continue, and people do need to make money. Businesses need to continue to not just survive, but thrive. But there's ways to do that can be helpful and of value to potential customers and you know, existing customers at this stage, rather than just a sales advert, you know.
Absolutely, that's so true. And I don't think, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with even potentially reducing your rates or your fees in times like this, because it's, you know, you want to help allow people to access what you can give.
Yeah.
And doing that, it still gives people back something.
Yeah.
They're learning from you. They're gaining expertise, and it's building your brand at the same time. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's certainly, I mean, that's one of the things that I've been doing. I've been doing one-to-one coaching, on social with businesses, and I'm doing that at a reduced rate just now. And because I just think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And to quote Gary Vee, the right thing, doing the right thing is always the right thing.
I agree. You know, I agree. You know? And I had a really interesting lady on a podcast yesterday. Her name's Chela Diaz from California. And she's the money relationship coach. Fantastic lady. And I learned so much from her. And one of the things she said is, she said, never do anything for free, because you need an exchange of energy that comes with currency. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with doing things at a discounted rate, you know, to help people. And that builds your brand accordingly, even strengthens your brand, because you're willing to, you know, be human and be empathetic to another person's position.
Yeah. So we could sit here and talk shit for days.
We could,
days.
Man. We could. It's really...
but yeah, we should probably shut up at some point. So Eric, let's call it quits. But you know, we're going to catch up again soon, and we're going to continue to bore the 10 people that are going to listen to us. Darren, it's good to talk to you. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Greg. Been a pleasure, man.
All right. Take care. Bye. Yeah.